Praise God. God is faithful. He's 100% faithful. I was sharing with the fellas downstairs. I really had something, I guess I saw maybe a little clearer this week. I even prayed this morning and said, Lord, if you have me share it with the rest of the people, just make a way. But our tall brother Phil is not here. So anyway, you know, God has a way of answering prayer. And the thing that's been on my heart, and I know it's probably been on a lot of people's heart, there's a lot of people that are really being tried. The Lord's people have always been a tried people. But the thing about it is, when we are tried and God tries us or tests us, there's a reason. God is not playing mind games with us. He wants to prove just how faithful he is. But he has to put us in a place of testing and trial to where it's beyond us so we realize how much we need him. Not only how much we need him to even go through what he asks us to go through, is to find out just how much he loves us and how faithful he is to us. God can be trusted. And that's the thing that I guess as we go along and we serve the Lord, we just more and more. I mean, how many times do you go through something, you go through something else, and you look back on the way the Lord has led you a certain way, helped you, strengthened you, and you get tried and tested again, and you say, Lord, you didn't fail me. And you remember that. Y'all go back sometimes and think about those things. And sometimes when you're in the midst of that, you say, well, Lord, you can't lie. You are faithful. You promised to never leave me nor forsake me. So, Lord, I'm going to trust you. But a lot of times it's raw faith, and it's also, it goes against everything that we have naturally to trust God. But God is a supernatural God. He has supernatural power and supernatural promises. The word he makes real to our heart is part of him. He said, the heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So when he makes a promise to us, it is God. It is God. And that's I had read through the life of Abraham. Okay, and I'm going to start in Genesis 22. Because this is one of those things when you read it, if someone just comes in point blank, picks up a Bible and starts this chapter, they're going to say, what kind of God is that? But anyway, Genesis 22, verse 1, and this is the subtitle, and this is Abraham's faith is tested. You know what? Our faith is going to be tested. We're going to be tried. But there's a purpose. It's God's purpose. We've been called according to God's purpose, and he's going to accomplish what he sets out to do. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. That sounds pretty tough. You know, anybody that has children or grandchildren, you always hear, I remember when I was growing up and when I got married, someone say, you don't know what it's like to have a child. Do you have a child? Well, it's true. There's a lot of joy, and sometimes a lot of heartache, a lot of challenge. You really don't know what it's like until you go through it. Then I have people say, well, you really don't know what it's like to have a grandchild until you have one. And then you have one. I got a couple over there, but, you know, the thing of it is, those little children are very dear to us, right? I mean, God put that in us, and so in this particular case with Abraham, he's being asked to give up the thing that would be the hardest to give up. But the thing about it is God did not do that point blank. He prepared Abraham for that. And that's what I saw. He prepared through his promises because the word says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. But he didn't just point blank meet Abraham and tell him to do this. There was a whole lot leading up to that. But I just want to go back and look at I just want to go back to Genesis 15 just for a moment. And this is after Abraham has been told to leave his father's house and go to a land the Lord would show him. But, you know, the scripture says Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. He just simply believed God. And early on, that's what he did, and he just keeps doing this. But, okay, in verse 1, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great, or I will be your exceeding great reward. But Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all these blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eleazar of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. That's a bold promise, wasn't it? And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Let's go Genesis 17. I guess what stood out to me, too, is systematically the Lord keeps talking to him and adding things to what he already said. Okay, this is where he changes Abraham's name. Well, it's Abram, so he's getting ready to change his name. He's also going to change Sarah's name. But anyway, verse 1 of Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abraham fell down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. You know, the Lord was so much in this, he's even changing their names in the process. God's going to get all the credit for this. His fingerprints are all over it. And here he goes. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. Do you know what? We are a part of that generation to come. If Abraham is our father and the father of faith, that applies to us. The promises that God makes are to each one of us. And just as Abraham and their situation was impossible, as we're going to see, you know, salvation is impossible. Not only is salvation impossible, but as the Lord saves us, how many times have you discovered your inability even after the Lord has called you to go and take the next step? And or when you get in the middle of it, you say, oh, God, I didn't know it was going to be this bad. And maybe it's a time of testing. And you realize just more and more and more as you go along, I need the Lord every day. If he's an ever-present help in time of need, it's good that he is because we need him. We need him whether we know we need him or not. We might be in a situation where things are going so well, we almost have a tendency to forget how much we need God. But in his kindness and goodness, he reminds us that we need him. And many times that comes in the way of testing and trials that we're even facing today. But, okay, let's go down to 15. And this is where God changes Sarah's name, or Sariah. You know, she's the one, she knew about these promises to Abraham and their descendants. And, you know, she's the one that had the bright idea. She said, you know, we're still not getting any children, so why don't you take my servant girl, Hagar, and she'll be like a wife to you. Maybe the Lord's going to produce descendants through her. And Abraham said, well, okay, let's go with that. I mean, he said, well, okay, we will. And you know what happened? Just as soon as that servant girl became pregnant, there was animosity between Sarah and Hagar. It says it. When we put our hands into what God is doing, we make a mess. That mess followed them, and God is still sovereign. He's also still has the ability to redeem every situation. So it's not like God did anything wrong. But anyway, they did that. They did that, and there's problems. The maid runs off. They go back and get her. Anyway, the story keeps on going on. But this is where the Lord also says he's going to change Sarah's name. Then God said to Abraham, regarding Sarai, your wife, her name will no longer be Sarah. Sarai, from now on, her name will be Sarah. And I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. Then Abraham bowed down to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. How could I become a father at the age of 100? He thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she's 90? When she's 90 years old. So Abraham said to God, and this is back to Hagar's son. You know, they had named him Ishmael. May Ishmael live under your special blessing. But God replied, no. And this is one thing that I noticed. Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac. So God tells him, you're going to have a son through her, and this is the name you're going to give him. And I will confirm my covenant with him and through him and his descendants. So he not only tells him that he's going to have this son through Sarah, but that is going to be the boy that brings these descendants. That's where they're going to come from. So God made a very specific promise to him. This is the way it's going to happen. So when you think about when he gets ready to go sacrifice him, what does the scripture say? He reckoned that God could raise him from the dead because he believed God, right? Okay, now let's go to, I'm not going to be up here that long. Genesis 21. So obviously, when the Lord makes a promise to us, we can reckon on it. We can believe it because it's going to come to pass. The heavens and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. And when he makes that promise, it may take a while for it to come to fruition. But when it does, he's going to get all the glory. We're going to know we didn't do it. When the Lord speaks to you, it is a wisdom that is from above. It is peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruit, as the word says. And that word and that promise, it comes with rest. It comes with peace. And it comes with an assurance that God's able to do what he said. You know, and sometimes it's like a whisper. But the whisper of God is stronger than anything else because it's him. It's him. Okay, so now in Genesis 21, we see this fulfilled. The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. Praise God. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. Ain't that a surprise? And Abraham named their son Isaac. 8 days later, after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. We serve a great God. And Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his own age. And this is another time for Abraham, right here, where it gets tough for Abraham. But this is what it says. When Isaac grew up and was about to be weaned, Abraham prepared a huge feast to celebrate the occasion. But Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and her Egyptian servant Hagar making fun of her son Isaac. So she turned to Abraham and demanded, this girl spoke her mind. She did. Get rid of that slave woman and her son. He is not going to share the inheritance with my son. I won't have it. This upset Abraham very much because Ishmael was his son. But God told Abraham, do not be upset over the boy and your servant. Do whatever Sarah tells you. For Isaac, here he goes again, for Isaac is a son through whom your descendants will be counted. That's pretty specific, isn't it? Okay. But I will also make a nation of the descendants of Hagar's son because he is your son too. Let's go ahead and go back to Genesis 22. And going back to where I started there. You know, what is the word? That we have a promise. This is very, I know probably everybody here knows this one. But it says, you know, about being tempted. You know, don't, how does it start out? There is no temptation taking you or testing taking you, which is common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tested above what you're able to stand, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. And anytime, I'm talking about if you go to the Old New Testament, you see where God is faithful. When he calls us to go through something, to exercise faith and obedience, he's there to give us grace. And we are going to be called. That's the thing that keeps coming to me, is that we're going to be called to go through things that maybe we didn't expect. I know we all have probably gone through things that we didn't expect. But whatever it is, God is doing this to show us and prove to us how trustworthy he is. He is a trustworthy God. I tell you, I'm so glad he left us these examples. Okay. So, anyway, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He just got right on up. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Listen to what he tells the servants. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servants. "The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there, then we will come back." He said, "We." I don't care which translation you read, me and the boy. So look at the kind of faith he had. But he had it because God had been so specific with him that that boy was going to bear those children. That's what enabled him to walk up that mountain and by faith even sacrifice his own son. I tell you what, Isaac is a type of Christ, the only son. I'm so thankful for God's provision, aren't you? Praise God. Okay, let's continue on here. Okay, so Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep." I'm so glad he provided a lamb for us. What a great God. He's a great God. Praise. He's worthy to be praised for the salvation he's provided for us. "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son." And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar, arranged the wood on it, and then tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its thorns in the thicket. And so he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means "the Lord will provide." And to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. I tell you what, is God worthy? Is he faithful? And I, you know, when I read back through this, it was just the fact that God was so specific with his promise. But he's just as specific with us. He wants us to totally trust him. And when our faith is being tried, we need to give him our Isaac, whatever it is, and say, "Lord, I trust you." Because he is trustworthy. And he will do what's right for us. He will only take us through what proves himself even more to us. He's such a good God. And I just, that's really all I have this morning. But, you know, God, you know, he's promised to finish work he started in us. And if that light shines brighter, you know, nobody here gets to a certain point. I'm sure like some of these elderly ladies here and elderly gentlemen, people who have served the Lord for years will tell you that they're still a work in progress. Their faith is still being tried. But is God faithful? He is faithful. I want to praise him because of his great faithfulness. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be trusted. That's the thing. He's worthy to be trusted. And that's all I had on my heart, and that's what I had to share. Thank you.
Praise God. I appreciate what Steve said. That really brings home God's faithfulness. You know, Abraham was promised something. He took it to heart, and then God told him he's going to take it away from him. And he had to be willing to surrender that. How many of us are willing to surrender the gift that God gave us for no more use, whether it's our sons, our daughters, whatever gifts we might have? Are we willing to give it to God, never to be used again? It's thought-provoking. We need to be willing. God, whatever it is that stands between us and your will, Help us to surrender it, as Abraham did. Abraham had enough faith. The faith that he had, God gave him. But he had enough faith to realize that God was going to bring that son back to him to keep his promise. But he still had to be willing to take that knife to him. Can we put to death anything that stands between us and God? God help us. I know, I think there's things in my life I wonder. I don't know if God put the finger on something, would I surrender it and say, yes, Lord, this is yours. I no longer will use it or want it. But we have to be willing. Praise God.
I wasn't getting to get up, and then I had a thought that was really peaceful and easy to be entreated. Well, not a thought, but Steve said something to me. He says, why don't you get up and say something? So I said, well, if I get up, if I'm wrong, then I can just point out Steve's fault. Praise the Lord. You know what? Sometimes when God speaks, there's a simplicity to it, and I don't know that we need to add a lot. Do y'all agree with that? I think we become so oriented. Is it oriented? We come so used to a certain thing that we think we have to be here for an hour or more, and then we go home. But I believe there's a simplicity to this. If I could just comment on anything as I was sitting there meditating on it, is that as God's people, when our days and weeks unfold and we have those difficult times, whether we're tried or we feel like we're in a real furnace of affliction, one great key for me, and I thank God, if I see in this story, the Lord was talking to Abraham, but Abraham was communicating with God as well, is to get a communication going with our Lord and Savior and God our Father. If there's things we don't understand, do you know God invites us to come to Him and talk with Him about everything? And we need to be able to do that. I do. Do I get an answer right away? No, but I'm glad He's listening, and I believe He does speak to me. I want to slow down enough where I can hear His voice.